You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Sonny, have you heard from Connie?
Yeah, I talked to her. Bippity-boppity-boop. Hello? What? Carlo beat you again? Listen, Connie, I'll be right there. Don't go anywhere.
What is it, Sonny?
Damn, Carlo.
I'll tell you what, I'll go with you.
We'll take care of business.
Hey, Sonny, want some cannoli?
Not right now. I gotta clear my head.
You gotta stop here at the toll booth. Hey, what's the matter, Sonny? You kinda jumpy? You know what you gotta do? You gotta get the car fixed. Take it to Perfection Auto Works. They'll take care of the backfire for you.
If your car is making you nervous and jumpy because of strange noises, bring it in to Perfection Auto Works for our free 26-point inspection. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com. Hey, Sonny, I'll take that cannoli.
And they're off! Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rialto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rialto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rialto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rialto Park Foundation.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. A great lineup of guests today. We'll be talking with Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles. He's also appearing regularly on Channel 5 in Los Angeles, which is one of the most watched news stations in all of America in that 12 million population market. Also, we're going to be talking with Dr. Stephen Zunis at the University of San Francisco about what's happening in the Ukraine as more die and the war escalates. Also talking with Larry Bodine of the Democrats of Greater Tucson about the Democratic Party's hope in the off-year election of 2022. Welcome to our show, Dr. Stephen Zunis, University of San Francisco. We've been doing this for about 25 years. We're finally getting... so we can do this. So we've had a lot of practice.
Yeah, it's great to be with you again, John.
Thank you. Russian forces have destroyed this theater in Mariupol, where hundreds of people were sheltered all during the week. It rained fire in other parts of the city. Ukrainian authorities said two sides projected optimism over efforts to negotiate an end to the fighting. How does that take place in this war that continues to kill every moment of every day and destroy millions of dollars worth of property in an entire country? How do you get to a negotiating stand in the middle of a war like this, Stephen?
It's really horrible. I mean, urban warfare. I mean, it's just so few places where people can run and hide, and we've seen this, of course, before. Some of your listeners may remember the horror of the Serbian siege of Sarajevo, or in more recent years, what Israel has done in Gaza on several occasions, what the Saudis have been doing in Yemen, of course, what the Syrians have been doing to their own cities and during that horrible civil war. But, you know, talking is better than not talking. And if it can get talking can arrange a ceasefire at least long enough for civilians to escape, that's a positive thing. And then if it can move towards some kind of peaceful resolution, that would be good as well. But in the meantime, it's absolutely horrible to see what's going on right now.
Stephen, forgive this elementary childlike question here, but what the hell does Putin want from the Ukrainian conflict?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think initially he had very grand schemes of installing a puppet government that would then agree to emerge effectively with Russia to rebuild the Russian Empire of old. But you know, I think his main objection, frankly, is that Ukraine, after a lot of fits and starts and political turmoil and corrupt governments, and including the corrupt pro-Soviet Russian governments, but there are also, frankly, some of the pro-Western governments were pretty corrupt as well. But what Zelensky had doing as an outsider is not part of the main bloc. He was trying to clean things up. He was trying to really move the country more towards a European democracy, and I think that's what concerned Putin. I mean, just as the United States did not want to see a successful socialist experiment in our hemisphere and go to great lengths to prevent that from happening, I think what Putin is doing, he doesn't want to see a successful liberal democratic experiment. To see a country with very similar culture and history become European and become a good, well-functioning liberal democracy. I think his thing, it was a threat of a good example.
Well, Ukraine is not the last stop on this horror story. What about the Baltic and Georgia and other satellites? Yeah. That's obvious. That may be next.
Yeah, it is quite possible. Though frankly, I doubt it, because I think there is a special tie between Ukraine and Russia historically that it does not exist with the other countries, except perhaps Belarus. But they're pretty much in the Russian orbit already. And indeed, the difficulty that the Russian armed forces are having in advancing in Ukraine, I think, is definitely a warning sign that going further would not work, especially since a number of these countries are members of NATO and they'd have the full force of the NATO alliance against them. So I don't think that's an immediate threat. But again, I think that it does underscore that Putin's ambitions are indeed imperial. His line about that an invasion is necessary for our self-defense is as ludicrous as the invasion that happened 19 years ago today when the U.S. invaded Iraq. I mean, there's no way that Ukraine was a threat to Russia except as a good example. And I think that there's no rationalizing for Putin's actions whatsoever. We need to see it as it is. This is he wants to return to the worst days of both the czarist and Soviet imperialism.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Zunis, University of San Francisco. He's been there since 1995, teaching courses on politics in the Middle East and other regions, nonviolent conflict resolution, U.S. foreign policy and globalization. He served as a founder and the first director of Middle Eastern Studies Program, respected observer of the politics of Europe and the Middle East and all of the country. Dr. Zunis, this whole idea that the invasion of Ukraine has changed things, and it has changed the world. How much has it changed the world as well as the locations in which the conflict is seeing so much bloodshed?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, on the one hand, you know, there we have seen other conquests, Morocco's invasion and annexation of Western Sahara. And the United States is actually virtually the only country in the world that has formally recognized that annexation, which has led, of course, to charges of hypocrisy and double standards by the Biden administration. And we've seen other smaller cases of all or parts of countries being absorbed, but it's still not recognized as legit in the international community. And I think what we're seeing in terms of Ukraine is just the fact that this is a much larger country than these others mentioning. And frankly, the Western world is more concerned when they see a white European people being subjected to the same kind of brutality that unfortunately people in other parts of the world have been seeing for years. So, in a sense, I think that you know, for a number of reasons, some legitimate, some less so, that we are recognizing that the international legal order really is at stake, that we've had rogue states before, but never a rogue state quite as of the size and importance of Russia that is nuclear armed, that is willing to go to these kinds of extremes. And so I do think that this is going to, you know, bring these fundamental questions, the ones we thought we had resolved in 1945 with the end of World War II and the United Nations Charter, that here we are a good ways into the 21st century, and we're still having to deal with the most basic principles of no country can up and invade another.
How has this war in the Ukraine affected the United States and Russian, and the Chinese relationship? Russia's brutal invasion of the Ukraine has made somewhat a vexing mood more complicated. China's government has vacillated between full embrace and almost measured responses. The Russian President Putin prosecutes this war. What about the United States and China now?
Well, there was that very frank conversation between President Xi and President Biden just recently, where he really pressed that it would be totally unacceptable for China to give any direct support, you know, in terms of arms or related support for Russian aggression. I don't think it's realistic to hope that China will honor the international boycott as much as we'd like them to do. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to invest a lot of money in trying to bail Russia out of its desperate situation. I mean, the Chinese have a huge surplus, but not that much. And so I think what we're seeing is that China's trying to play a middle ground, and that they don't want to basically, you know, follow the dictates of the United States. They have their own interest in Russia being an alternative to U.S. and Western power in certain ways. At the same time, they don't want to stick their necks out in supporting an action that they likely, you know, I think was somewhat impulsive and ill-advised, and one which could hamper their trade relations and other kinds of relations elsewhere in the world.
Dr. Stephen Sinis, University of San Francisco, you talked about Putin's ambitions. What is his risk in the Ukraine?
Well, the big risk, of course, is that he's going to lose. And I think he indeed will eventually. The question is how many people are going to die in the interim. But the fact that the Ukrainian resistance has been far greater than I think he expected, and the competence of the Russian armed forces has been really, really poor. I mean, you know, the poor leadership, the ruptured supply lines, the low morale and everything like that. I mean, I couldn't help but think that both the 1905 and 1917 revolutions initiated in the armed forces who were dealing with the same issues. So I think I think he has to worry about dissent in the ranks of the military. Obviously, the oligarchs are not happy about losing so much of their wealth and privilege. And of course, ordinary Russians, at least those who are kind of getting the word out through the censorship about the high casualties and the high level of resistance among Ukrainians and generally the international reaction. I think that what Putin might have to lose is his own role as president, because I can't imagine a scenario where this is going to come out in a way that's going to be good for Russia. And I think I think most Russians will figure out sooner or later that he's the guy to blame for it.
Wow. Dr. Sinis, we need to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Stay with me, please. Thank you. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
And they're off. Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rieto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rieto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rieto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rieto Park Foundation.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest is Dr. Stephen Zunis of the University of San Francisco, talking about the Ukraine. Let's talk a little bit about our President Biden and his place in this particular war-torn era that we're living through. What kind of marks would you give the president in regard to this latest conflict, Stephen?
You know, I may be surprised to hear this, since I have been quite critical of a number of Biden's foreign policies over the years, but I'd actually give him an A-minus on this. I mean,
wow.
I think he's actually done a reasonably good balancing act that is being firm about the illegality of the war, providing the defensive weapons that are necessary, rallying the international community, steering these targeted sanctions, which are really having an impact, but at the same time, you know, not you're recognizing the dangers of, for example, a no-fly zone, or even bringing in a jet fighter craft that you know could be lead to a wider war. So I think he's the only minus part are things that I've alluded to that he should be a little more consistent in his support of human rights, international law, and in regard to the occupation armies and dictatorships that we continue to support. But for Ukraine itself, I think actually he has done a pretty decent job.
This can go on and on, I would imagine, if we don't have a ceasefire. And even if we do, it could go back to a shooting war almost within hours. Are we going to be talking about the same conflict in the same way 6 months from now, a year from now?
It's quite possible, though hopefully not with the scale of killing that's going on. I think one thing to underscore that is important here is that you know, the Ukrainians have been resisting foreign invasions for centuries, and but we're not just talking about the guerrilla war or the armed resistance, but the fact that twice during in less than 20 years, the Ukrainians have risen up largely nonviolently and brought down these corrupt autocratic regimes in 2004 and 2014. In addition, we look at Mariupol right now, that city that's undergoing such a terrible bombardment, and the Russians have at least partially occupied. The Russians actually occupied it briefly back in 2014. Either these are not literally the Russian armed forces, but these were the Russian-backed ethnic Russian militia that had seized the city. And you had thousands of steel workers, miners, ordinary citizens, unarmed, marched into downtown, removed the barricades, and drove the militia out of the government buildings and out of town. And already in Kharkov, which is the largest city that's fully occupied, you've had tens of thousands of people in the streets, you know, engaged in massive protests and non-cooperation. That the thing is that when you have that kind of resistance, even in the areas where you control, you still don't control them. You know, a government's only in control if people recognize their authority. And so I see that the combination of the armed resistance and the nonviolent resistance, along with the international community's response, is going to make it very, very difficult for the Russians to continue to do what they do, and they are going to need to back off eventually. Again, my main concern is the horror they may inflict until they finally reach that conclusion.
Well, if they get to a point where they occupy the Ukraine, they own it, and then you have to feed the people and care for the people, and you have to obviously be in a conflict from guerrilla efforts every day of every week of every month that you're there. I mean, once you've conquered, you own them, and you're going to have to rule one way or another, which may be impossible, I would think, for the Russian government.
And in the United States, we found that ourselves in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Absolutely,
even though we weren't trying to formally annex them, you know, just while we were being in charge the way we were. Hey, it's not that easy.
Well, you get to a particular point, too, where the whole map, we've got 1 minute left. The map of Europe is changing now, isn't it, because of this conflict?
Well, certainly demographically, when you have 3 million refugees flowing into other European countries. But what is interesting is some of the Eastern European countries with these right wing populist governments like Poland and Hungary, which in certain and the Czech Republic, Slovenia, others that had seemed to be leaning towards Putin, they've actually come around and decided they are actually with the West when it comes down to this, and so Putin has lost some important European allies, and I think we really one thing that's going to come out of this, I believe, is a stronger Europe, because we're seeing signs of that already.
Dr. Zunis, thanks so much for being with us. It's always great to talk with you. I always learn from you. I'm always sitting in the front row paying attention when you talk. So thanks again for being on our show today. I appreciate it so very much. Thank you.
And thank you so much for including me.
Dr. Stephen Zunis, University of San Francisco, there since 1995, teaching courses in politics of the Middle East and other regions and nonviolent conflict resolution. He's one of the most respected observers of Middle East and European conflict in the United States. We've had him on the air now for 25 years of the John C. Scott Show. Thank you, Dr. Zunis. Back following the news at the bottom of the hour from the Perfection Letter.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Hey, Charlie, I feel bad about this. Here we are on the waterfront to watch your Rambler Marlin get crushed.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me. You know, I should have taken better care of it. You know, I can almost hear it speak to me. It was you, Charlie. Let's face it, you were my owner. You should have looked out for me a little bit. Should have taken care of me a little bit more. You should have taken me to Perfection Auto Works. Should have kept my oil clean. Kept me tuned up. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody besides a wreck. Which is what I am, Charlie. It was you, Charlie.
Saying goodbye to your car can be a real tearjerker. Keeping your car maintained is the best way to keeping your car or truck on the road forever. Let Perfection Auto Works be the happy ending for your car. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Up next on our show today, Matt Klink, who has more than three decades of experience working on complex and controversial and high-profile issues for the public and private sector in Los Angeles. Matt has recently served as a head consultant in opposition to a controversial property tax measure in the greater Los Angeles area, outspent by more than 6-1, facing widespread support from area politicians. Matt Klink developed and implemented a highly targeted opposition campaign that held the initiative proponents to 46% of the vote, and they needed 67 to pass. He's also been a successful worker on some of the highest profile statewide initiatives
in California in the last 3 decades. He is well-liked in the Los Angeles area, appears regularly on KTLA television, Channel 5 in L.A., and is feared as well, being liked and feared. That's what you want if you're going to be in March Madness, right? So it's crazy. Well, Matt, let's talk about how far apart are the Democrats and Republicans in regard to the conflict in the Ukraine and the war going on that Putin has started there?
Hi, John.
Hi.
I think that the mainstreams of both parties are pretty well aligned. I think that you get some folks on the ends, the extreme sides, that are not quite favorable. But you know, I got to tell you, it is a little troubling. I mean, that we don't want to put American troops anywhere near Russian forces. Not because I don't think that we could beat them, we could, but fighting a Russian army is a lot different than fighting in Iraq or Afghanistan. I just think that we're being a little too cavalier with all of our, you know, sending weapons that eventually I just fear something's going to happen.
Is there a fear for the Baltics and Georgia, other satellite countries at one time from Russia that may fall because the Ukraine may fall?
Well, if the Baltic countries were to be attacked, I think that you're looking at, then Article 5 of NATO does come into play, and then we do have World War III. So, you know, I hope not. I hope cooler heads prevail. But, you know, what we've seen over the last 3.5 weeks by Vladimir Putin has defied logic. He's destroying a beautiful country. And I mean, the people are very, very similar, but the Ukrainians, they just want to be free. They don't want to live under, you know, under Russian domination.
I'm curious about how this might end and the fate of Putin. We had Dr. Stephen Sunis, University of San Francisco, who's followed this carefully over the last few months, and he would suggest that may be Putin's downfall, that he may fail in conquering the Ukraine, even though he may occupy it for a period of time, but he might fail in what he's attempting to do there, which is to totally control it and maybe even destroy it. What's your take on Putin and the risk he has taken in the Ukraine?
The only risk that I think that Vladimir Putin has domestically is if the oligarchs that he has helped make hundreds of billions of dollars is that they turn on him, but he still has widespread support from every bit of research that I've seen in Russia. The opposition is very muted, and you know, I just think we've got to be careful there too, because we don't know what would replace Putin, and the fear of the unknown, I think, is something we have to take into account here. Look, all that being said, I think that we should crank up the restrictions on Russia. We really should sanction their energy and their banking to make them hurt. But all of this, you know, no-fly zones where potentially American pilots would come face-to-face with Russian pilots, that should be a non-starter for everyone.
The conflict in the Ukraine does play into the American politics in this off-year election, but how much does it come into play, Matt Klink?
I think that the biggest impact on the 2022 elections is going to be domestic concerns. It's going to be the high price of gas, soaring inflation, and higher food prices. And I think that's what's gonna be the primary reason. International politics rarely influence decisions in elections unless American troops are directly involved in contact. And I'm hoping that is not the case, that we are not involved in any contact or in any form of, whether it's a Cold War or a hot war. But no, the domestic concerns and the less buying power of the average American, that will be what ultimately is the Democrats' downfall this November.
As we take a look at these particular political campaigns, has anything changed with the announcement of a particular candidate here or there, or money flowing here or there, that would alter what you have told us in the past, and that is a Republican sweep of the House, at least to the majority? and perhaps even the Senate falling to the Republicans this fall. Anything that you see now that we didn't see, say, a couple of months ago when we talked in regard to the campaigns of 2022?
Yeah, and it's kind of one that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. But the Democrats have actually done better than expected in redistricting. And in states like Ohio, I think they're now on their fourth round of maps because the Supreme Court keeps rejecting the Republican maps. The Democrats have done better in some key states like North Carolina, like Pennsylvania, like New York. And while I do think that the Republicans will win back the majority because they need so few seats, it's not going to be the walloping like the, like 1990 or what is it, like 2010 when Barack Obama got really smoked. And I think the Democrats lost 65 seats. So, I think it's going to Republican wins will be there in the House. They will have the majority, likely Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And I think if the cards fall right, the Democrats will also lose their Senate majority by one or two seats.
Pick out the issues that are going to change or alter what happens in these elections of this year. Would it be what is happening on the border, such as immigration? Would it be, obviously, the abortion issue before the Supreme Court? Or would it be the attempts by the Republican Party to control elections by reducing the numbers of days that you may vote or even early voting, as has been attempted here in Arizona and throughout the rest of the country? What do you think is really going to influence these elections across the board of the issues I just mentioned?
I think that clearly inflation is the top issue. Crime is going to be another issue. And the attention that, especially in big cities and in suburbs near big cities with high crime, I think that even Democrats are getting fed up with it. Homelessness is a huge issue in California and in a number of other states. The border will certainly be a problem, but it's really going to come down to economic issues. If gas prices continue to stay high, if the Fed does what they say they're going to do and raise interest rates two or three more times this year, buying a house will cost more money. And if inflation is still where it is, it's going to be really, really hard for the Democrats to push through that headwind. I don't see how they can do it, primarily because the man in the White House, he is not a good communicator. And that's the biggest selling point that the Democrats lack. They don't have someone who can get out there and use the bully pulpit to their advantage. It's just not Joe Biden, and it's certainly not Kamala Harris.
Matt Klink is a GOP consultant in Los Angeles, one of the most respected GOP strategists in America. A little bit about the campaigns through this particular midterm year. And in regard to anyone emerging, especially in the Republican Party, and perhaps as a backup to Biden if he does not choose to run, and he would only announce that very late in his first 4 years. But who is emerging as a Republican that you've been able to watch across the country that looks like it would be a campaign that would challenge Trump or anyone else in the GOP? Is it Florida? Where would we look for that candidate of the Republican Party?
Well, I certainly think that you've got Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who has kind of been the conservative governor of choice, where people are going for things that, especially during COVID and the way that Florida didn't lock down like the rest of a lot of big Western states and big urban states like California and New York, et cetera. As someone who can at least compete on that level, he's young, he's quick, he's quick-witted. He's a former Navy SEAL. Clearly, he has a complete package. He's really, really strong candidate. I also think you've got the two Scotts, Senator from Florida and Senator from South Carolina. You've also got Nikki Haley, the former U.N. ambassador when Donald Trump was there. And don't forget about Mike Pompeo. A West Point graduate, super, super smart Secretary of State, head of the CIA. He looks like he's running. He's lost a bunch of weight. which is usually a pretty telltale sign that you're getting ready to go on the road for an extended period of time. So there, I think the Republicans will be in no shortage of candidates. The question is how seriously is Donald Trump going to run for president, or if he just likes being top of mind for everybody.
What about
that's right now is a big unknown.
Matt, the Democrats, who would be in the wings if Biden is one looking as weak as he might appear to look in 2024, and who would step up and try to salvage the presidency for another term? Who would that be of the Democratic Party?
The list is going to be long and deep on that one, too. I mean, you've got Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, I'm sure will make another run. The progressives will almost certainly look for a candidate. I just did an interview on Politico about this. Bernie Sanders will be 84 by the time that the 2024 presidential election comes around. So the progressives are likely going to have to find someone younger. They've mentioned Ro Khanna, who is a very progressive legislator from the Silicon Valley in California. Although his strike against him is that he's in the House, and it's very rare for a member of the House to be a credible presidential candidate. Look, potentially Elizabeth Warren. I'm sure that there will be some, Gavin Newsom. I'm sure, he has really no competition for re-election this year in California. I'm sure that he'll throw his hat into the ring, as will others. So it could be a lot of fun having another completely wide open presidential race in 2024.
I think that's what's going to happen, if you want my prediction. I truly appreciate you being on our show today. It is always great to talk with you. You have such a great insight into not only what's going on, but what is coming off. Thank you again, Matt Klink. Good to talk with you.
Anytime.
Hope you have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
You too.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles, one of the most respected GOP strategists in all of America. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back with Larry Bodine of the Democrats of Greater Tucson after these messages.
And they're off. Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rito Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rito is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rito Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rito Park Foundation.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who is responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here is Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, John. How are you today?
I'm fine, and I had a great time as I went to, what is it, Brother John's? Is that it?
Did I get that right? Yeah, you came to our happy hour.
I met a lot of people that said, I remember you when you were John C. Scott. And I went, I think I still am. And they said, well, you can't be. That was a long time ago. It was a great time. The food was good, really good. And I was surprised. It's kind of a tavern, I guess,
atmosphere.
But the food was great.
Yeah, we were in the outdoor patio, and yep. Democrats of Greater Tucson loves to have fun.
Yep.
We get together in person once a month, generally on the 15th, and it was so great to have you there.
Thank you. I'll be back, actually. I'm going back for the food and for the company, which are both good. Coming up on Monday from the Democrats of Greater Tucson as you open up the phone lines and the video, and everybody's invited.
Yes, that's right. So on Monday, March 21 at noon on Zoom, we're going to have a really interesting Democratic candidate, Kat Stratford. She is running in Legislative District 18, which is my district where I'm a precinct committee man. And she's going to talk about the climate crisis and how, it's going to be unlivable here in Tucson in 50 years, and health care and education. And what makes her really interesting is she's an outspoken survivor of sexual and domestic violence. And she's advised people in homicide survivors, and she's been a rape crisis advocate. So she's got a really interesting background and package of information that she wants to talk about. And anybody can join us. Just go to www.thedgt.org for organization. Or you can just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and our homepage will come up, and you just you can see all of our upcoming programs as well as recordings of past ones. So, for instance, last week we had Pima School Superintendent Dustin Williams, and he basically confirmed that the Republican legislature in Phoenix is mounting a full-on assault on education. You know, they're suppressing students, they're targeting trans kids, and they want to penalize teachers who don't out the gay kids to their parents. And, they're using vouchers to pay for private schools and even out-of-state schools. So it's amazing what you learn in one of our programs.
It's great. It really is. Listen, I wanted to just mention that the second annual Arizona Democracy Never Sleeps Telethon is coming up this next weekend. It's a telethon to stop dark money, Arizonans for Fair Election, and health care rising. And you're looking to have everybody in the state join you online. I know you're a part of this, beginning at 4 o'clock Saturday, March the 26th. Goddard Law Offices will feature Terry Goddard, who ran for governor, who is the former attorney general, and he's been trying to stop dark money. But it's an effort to get enough signatures when there's a very short fuse burning on this that will allow these initiatives to go before voters and try to take our democracy back. Just about 30 seconds for that, and then one more question for you, so go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you want to find out about that, go to thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and look for the telethon event. You'll find it right away. I'll be one of the hosts along with Mike Bryan, who is on our board, and he's one of your frequent guests.
He is.
So if you're looking for intelligent conversation and the facts and interesting candidates, come to Democrats of Greater Tucson Monday at noon. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson.
By the way, your archives of the Democrats of Greater Tucson has literally hundreds of people that have appeared before the Democrats of Greater Tucson and now are archived forever, I would hope.
Yes.
So we could go back and watch all kinds of people and what they said then and perhaps what they say now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are candidates out there running for office now, and you can find a recording of what they said 2 years ago when they were running for something else. So it's a very valuable and informative database. And, that's the important thing. I think voters just need to learn who the candidates are, learn the facts, and forget about Matt Klink. Boy, he's reading out of some fantasy book. The Democrats are back. We're here to stay, and Democrats of Greater Tucson is where you're going to find out about them.
Well, I thank you so much, Lori Bodine. By the way, a former award-winning journalist for the Daily News in New York, lawyer, delegate to the Democratic National Convention, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, and just one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And I'm so pleased that you are building the Democrats of Greater Tucson into a very powerful group of people. And you're doing very well with it. Thanks for being with us on the show. I appreciate
All right,
it so
John,
much.
Same to you. Thanks so much.
You bet. The proceeding, a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the contents of that segment. From the Perfection.org studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Welcome to Jeopardy, and today we have Nancy from Queens, and we don't care about the other two. Nancy, let's get ready to go.
Alex, I will take auto and truck repair for $1,000.
What is car and truck repair done right the first time?
The quickie lube?
Wrong.
What is Perfection Auto Works?
Excellent. Choose again.
Car repair for $800.
Congratulations, the daily double. The crankshaft rotation of a BMW is counterclockwise at 4,600 RPM and at 10% fuel trim level.
What is the tune-up procedure when taken to Perfection Auto Works?
Congratulations. Now it's time for Final Jeopardy. The leader in car and truck repair in southern Arizona.
What is Perfection Auto Works?
You are today's winner on Jeopardy at $56,000.
That's why I go to Perfection Auto Works, Alex.
Thanks for playing.
If your car situation has you in jeopardy, you too can be a winner by taking your car or truck to Perfection Auto Works. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.